Send a movie idea.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory. It's the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules are simple. We can discuss as many of your film ideas and ours as we like, but only one will be taken to the next stage, where it will be placed in a small briefcase and suspended 10 foot in the air above a wrestling ring. I'm Joel, a man who puts the tit in Titus O'Neil, and across from me is John Harris. And let me tell you, there is no man on earth more afraid of the idea of wearing a leotard in front of thousands of jeering fans, whereas the thought actually quite arouses me.
Not of you, mate.
Now, you're probably wondering why there are so many wrestling references in that intro there.
I was looking at it.
What are you on about? It's a lot of wrestling talk. And that's because we are joined on this episode by WrestleTalk's very own presenter extraordinaire, Mr. Luke Owen. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you very much. How are you?
Good. Excited. Yeah. Very excited to have you with us. Yeah, because normally it's just me and John. We don't really get on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just good to have you here to kind of mediate that, I guess.
And the three of us haven't done a podcast together in over a year or so.
It's been over a year. Well, we come back every year.
Yeah. It's like Guns N' Roses.
Yeah. Guns N' Roses.
A big comeback tour.
Guns N' Roses, Glastonbury. What else happens once a year? Wimbledon.
Those weird flying ants.
Flying ant day. It's like the flying ant day of podcasting.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. And congratulations on your wrestling references as well.
They're good?
They were pretty good, yeah.
Don't congratulate me. Congratulate a little website called Wikipedia. My wrestling references stop in the late and early 2000s.
That's pretty much where everyone's wrestling references stop, because that's when everyone stopped watching wrestling. And then there was just that select few of us that continued
you
watching.
You say select few.
Well, yeah, but it's not quite as large as it once was. Like, you know, Raw in the US used to pull in 8 million people. Now it struggles to pull in 3, which still seems like quite a big number.
Yeah,
but all of those 3 million tend to hate the product, and we're as wrestling fans, we just watch things out of habit.
It's just like every other sport. It really is. Yeah. That's the best argument I've ever heard, that wrestling is a sport. Loads of people watch it and they hate it.
But it seems to be having like a real resurgence recently, I would say.
The British wrestling scene certainly is. Massive, yeah. It's getting really big, and to the point where like WWE are now, they're launching a UK brand, because they are worried that some of these other companies are getting too big for their boots. And so they want to come in and essentially sign up all the good talent.
Wow. What's it called, the UK brand?
NXT UK. So NXT is like their developmental brand.
Okay.
So
the Youth Academy.
It's essentially the Youth Academy, yeah. But the problem is, like, it's like the Youth Academy, but imagine signing Messi and putting him in the Youth Academy. That's essentially what NXT does.
Right.
They sign the best wrestlers in the world, put them in, quote-unquote, developmental, so they can, quote, learn how to wrestle, and then bring them up to the main roster. It's like, well, okay, well, now you're good enough.
Right.
Now you can go on to WWE.
I don't really understand just how to explain things to me there. That was really good, wasn't it? Imagine Messi.
Oh, right, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. I did have to go racking my brain. I was like, I think of a football player. I think of a football player and a really good one.
Yeah. Right.
We're not here to mix sport metaphors.
We put out a call. Well, you put out a call.
And you did.
We did to get some film suggestions, specifically wrestling film suggestions, because this is going to be a pretty wrestling heavy episode. And you'll be doing a lot of the legwork here. Just sort of casting my eye over some of these, they don't make much sense to me. But that's all part of the fun, right?
Yes.
I get the movie bits of them.
That's always good.
We're going to pitch some wrestling movies. John, what have you got?
This one's from Steve. Now You've Seen Me.
I get it.
Yeah, you go.
I get it. Do you know it?
Yeah.
John Cena, right?
Yeah.
He does the thing with his hand.
Yes, he says, you can't see me.
Where does that come from? What's that about? Because his name's Cena?
No, I don't think it's that. Although he does lead the C-Nation, which is...
The Navy?
Yeah, a little bit like the Navy, yeah. C-Nation. But I think because his gimmick was, originally when he came, he was a rapper. He was a white rapper.
What? Yeah, I didn't know this.
Oh, yeah, and he had like...
That's why he wears the silly shorts.
That's exactly why he used to wear like basketball jerseys and a backwards cap, and he had a big chain. He led the chain gang. He was a doctor of thugonomics. That was... He also had a song. He released a rap album.
No, come on.
Seriously, he released a rap album in 2004 or 2005, I want to say, and had his theme song on there, Doctor of Thugonomics.
Doctor of Thugonomics. Where did he study for that?
He doesn't really say, unfortunately, but I would imagine Princeton. The only place that would teach Thugonomics.
Princeton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd think it's not really in their wheelhouse, but that turns out they've got an excellent scholarship system.
Doctor of Thugonomics.
Yeah. Well, the good news is...
That is amazing.
Yeah.
I've got some questions about wrestlers and their characters coming up later. And that, I mean, we're not going to top that.
The good news is, I think that since Will Smith stopped rapping the theme tunes for his own films, that's been really missing in cinema. But John Cena...
Which theme tunes did he rap for his own? Oh, Wild Wild West.
Wild Wild West, Men in Black.
Yep.
Pursuit of Happiness.
Independence Day.
We could just name all his serious films.
Really, Hitch was tailor-made for one.
Yeah. It was!
Like, really, like that really needed a theme song.
And he wrote a song called Switch.
Yeah.
Oh, he could have sung it easily!
Yeah.
I mean, the song came after.
Maybe the song was inspired.
Oh, maybe it was.
Maybe it was, yeah.
Yeah, actually it was called Hitch, and they were like, this is rubbish.
The film Hitch comes up too much in this podcast.
Not enough, mate. Not enough.
So, Now You See Me is a magical heist. Magic is in terms of stage magic, heist movie.
It's confusing because one of them does have Harry Potter in.
The second one.
So it's a magic film with Harry Potter in.
Yeah. I haven't seen the second one.
No one's seen the second one.
I thought the first one, though, was broadly fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was one of those things, like, you know, at the end when they do the big reveal, and you're meant to be like, aha!
The big reveal was really rubbish.
Yeah, no, and I was like, what?
I seem to remember that I went with it for all of a second. I went, what? Wait, no. Yeah. No. Do you know what I mean?
Isn't it like, it's stage magic until the last minute, and then it's sort of real magic.
Yeah.
By the way, it's real. The whole thing's real. Imagine if, like, you watched a Darren Brown live show, and at the end, he was like, no, I'm actually a fucking wizard. And he was like, nah.
To be fair, I would be fucking impressed if Darren Brown's biggest trick was actually that he wasn't magic.
He'd been debunking magic his whole career, but was actually a wizard. What a way to go out.
Remember how big Darren Brown was?
Yeah.
Like, in his time. Remember when he did the live seance on Channel 4?
I'm not sure I do.
Yeah, essentially he got everyone to, like, create Ouija boards and did, like, this big live seance on TV.
Oh, man, that does sound familiar. He made everyone get stuck to their chairs as well. Do you remember that?
I couldn't watch. I was too scared.
Just stood up.
Imagine if the telly turned off. I was stuck on my chair forever.
True.
They find my body days later.
Save this for another episode. Here's my pitch. Do you remember that Darren Brown documentary on Channel 4? Well, imagine that the TV turned off and I was stuck in a chair. That's quite good. That's like that film where Ryan Reynolds gets buried alive, but instead you're just in a chair. And it's like, oh, it's like a phone booth. Yeah. The whole thing's just a shot of you in an armchair.
Just not able to move.
Not able to move.
But this film, I'm assuming, then we would just do a heist movie, but John Cena is the lead. I mean, he's an actor now. You know, he is starring in films. I interviewed him for a film.
Which one?
Ferdinand. The animated one where he plays a bull. Hilarious bit of marketing. So the film, very much set in summer. Like, it is a Spanish movie. It is hot all the time. Mm-hmm. Nothing but sun the entire time. Film came out at Christmas, so the posters all had him wearing a Christmas hat.
Nice.
I was like, that was a half an hour's meeting in the DreamWorks studio. I was like, oh, how am I going to fix this?
I'm going to make this Christmas
Santa hat.
Interesting fact about how my brain works was, before Luke said that it was Ferdinand, I got it mixed up in my head and thought it was called Rio, which was another animated kids film.
Yeah.
And together that makes
Back
footballer.
To football.
Rio Ferdinand.
Gary Neville. Oh, Rio Ferdinand, yes.
It's really appealing to me this evening, guys.
I don't want to go too far into these tangents because we're only on our first film and we've got about 74 to get through. But also, I like the fact that Daniel Radcliffe clearly made such a concerted effort to not be typecast in the films he picked after, and then just went, fuck it, I'll do a magician now.
Sorry, how much?
Yeah.
I get to work with Woody Harrelson, all right, then.
Yeah. So yeah, or the heist is the thing that they have to steal is John Cena.
John Cena's belt.
Oh, actually, I'd like John Cena itself. You have to kidnap John Cena.
Wouldn't want to do that.
Because he's so hard to see.
Mm. Oh, but he's also really strong. That'd be my main concern.
There was an amazing book. This is very much like deep cut wrestling joke. But there was
go for it.
But John Cena is, he's been around since 2004, you know, up until now. It's a long old period.
Yeah.
And with the exception of his rapping gimmick, he has always been the John Cena that everyone, I say everyone knows, but the people who watch wrestling knows, with the jorts and everything, the cap, bright colored t-shirts. They released a book called The Evolution of John Cena. It's not kidding. And there was a picture of him, and he was doing the same pose, just wearing a different hat and a different colored t-shirt.
Amazing.
And I was like, what an evolution.
Amazing. Yeah.
Used to be more of a green guy. I went to a Monday Night Raw. Did you go to it as well? Everyone booed John Cena, didn't they?
Yeah, he's not a popular character.
Is he like a pantomime villain?
No,
or people just bored of him.
No, he's meant to be a good guy. But even like when he was new, people didn't like him then. So wrestling fans have this really entitled mentality. It's almost a bit like Last Jedi. The people who want to remake The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
It's like that, but all wrestling fans.
Come on, those guys. Shout out to those guys.
Oh, so much gold.
It's so ambitious, right? It's so...
But it's not ambitious. They've got the money.
Yeah.
They've
got investors.
They've already got the money.
They've got the money. Don't ask us who our investors are.
No. Or if they have the rights.
Yeah. And they've just like written an open letter to Disney. Like, guys, we can handle this. The thing they wrote that open letter on, that parchment-looking image, is... Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Sensational.
It's amazing.
What? I mean, it's essentially this podcast, but they're taking the idea seriously.
When are you going to reveal that it's you, out of interest?
Oh, come on, that's awkward.
That is my one worry.
Why wasn't Joel cast as...
That is my one worry, is it's going to be revealed as one big hoax, like someone was just doing it for a laugh. I really want it to be real. I want these people to genuinely believe that they think they can do it.
I think it's real. I get that feeling.
Yeah.
I would be disappointed too, I'll give you that. I think we've treated Steve's suggestion with the utmost of respect.
I'd agree with that.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Would you like one from me?
Yes.
This comes from another man in the medical profession on Twitter, a Dr. Hordak from Dusk Till Dawn Marie. Now, I can only assume there's a female wrestler called Dawn Marie.
Well, yes, a valet called Dawn Marie.
Manager. Parks the cars? All right.
That's what I thought.
Man, this goes deep, doesn't it? The story arcs in wrestling. You know, how much do you know about wrestling? You know the people that park their cars.
You joke. The last 2 weeks, there has been a valet character on the screen. Like, it's almost perfect timing that you made that joke, because there has been a valet character that has been scared by one of the big wrestlers called Braun Strowman, because he's a big giant monster. He's called a monster among men. That's his gimmick.
And he's amongst pretty big men.
And he is like very big.
Yeah.
And he's a woodsman, really. Like, and he's competing in strongman competitions.
Okay. Oh,
so
okay.
The valet, very scared of Braun Strowman, because he goes like, he talks like this. And they were like, he was like, oh no, I don't want anything of this, and run away.
Oh no.
I know, right?
I think we could write WWE episodes, mate.
I'm pretty sure anyone could.
How big is his car?
Braun Strowman is massive.
Really big car.
It's literally a monster.
Maybe that's why the valet didn't want to
drive
it.
It's a monster among men truck.
So from Dusk Till Dawn, excellent vampire.
Excellent vampire film.
Fun time.
I'd say one of the best vampire movies ever.
Yeah, big time.
So, so good. Robert Rodriguez. So I love it. It's a fantastic movie.
My limited knowledge of wrestling, I know Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of, in some sort of way, a... what's the word I'm looking for?
Well, his gimmick was he was a mortician.
Oh.
And so he was the Undertaker and his manager, Paul Bearer. So he was so he was Paul Bearer's Undertaker. And so the Undertaker would make coffins that he was going to bury the people in. But then he split away from Paul Bearer and just became the Undertaker. Then he became like Ministry of Darkness Undertaker, where he like led a cult and then turned into a biker. And he was the American Badass.
I remember that, yeah.
Coming out to Limp Bizkit's Rollin'.
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
Just a quick note to self, Paul Bearer, mall cop. Just
mental note. Undertaker's, he's either still going or very recently stopped.
He's still going. He was at WrestleMania. He was at the Greatest Royal Rumble. He was at, he's going to be, they're doing a big show in Australia. He's going to be having his final
Down Undertaker.
Yeah, Down Undertaker. That's exactly it. As a pun I thought of on the way here, because I was trying to think of a film to do, and the only thing I could think of was The Rescuers Down Under. And I was like, I was like, Rescuers Down Undertaker. Right.
I love The Rescuers.
That was my idea for this week.
Oh, bloody hell.
The Rescuers Down Undertaker.
Great minds.
I've got a backup.
Great minds. Look, how old is Undertaker?
I'd say 103.
He must be 60 plus, right?
He's in his 50s. Late 50s, I think.
How are they putting themselves through that?
Like, he can only wrestle once a year, more or less. and there's no, like, he just does WrestleMania, and it's almost feel like we're just carting him out once again.
Yeah.
Like, for another WrestleMania. Last year's WrestleMania was one of the saddest things I've ever seen.
Oh, no.
Because he was the main event, and he couldn't move.
Oh.
And it was just really awkward and sad to watch.
I thought he took off his headband and that meant he'd retired. I'm confused.
He did, but just cut him out once again.
Yeah.
Like the story always with Taker is that he's retired when he's done. And he always thinks he's done. And then he's like...
just when you think he's out.
Just when you think he's out of the game, they pull him back in. There you go. They pick up the phone and literally go, yeah, can you wrestle again? Because we need...
Sorry, how much?
So the word...
Woody Harrelson?
The word I was grappling for all of about 40 minutes ago was supernatural. There's like a supernatural vibe to him. Vampires. Have they ever gone that far into the supernatural?
There was a wrestling vampire. His name was Gangrel.
Gangrel.
Who he got his gimmick from Marvel Comics. Marvel Comics came up with the name Gangrel, and they actually owned the rights to the name.
Wow.
Yeah, really, it's a really weird story. And then he left, but still had a deal with Marvel Comics that he could continue being Gangrel, the living vampire. And
watching his day-to-day life.
Well, you're a kid, but yeah, he does practice vampirism in real life, and he's got his teeth and everything like that. He was a porn director for a little while with him and his wife, and he still does independent wrestling. Yeah, he had a stable called The Brood. And he had like two lackeys with him, and they used to cover people in blood. They used to give them blood baths, and they used to drop from the ceiling.
Oh, that actually sounds quite cool.
Yeah, it was the 90s. Things like that.
In the 90s.
But then, like, he'd have to cut promos, but he was wearing these big fake teeth, so his promos always sounded really rubbish.
Sorry, I try and keep the teeth in.
It's very threatening. It is threatening.
So, Dawn Mary.
Dawn Marie.
Marie.
Dawn Marie.
Apologies.
Yes.
Dawn Marie. Would she make a great vampire?
No. Oh. I mean, she'd make. So you know,
a good vampire killer.
I was about to say Selma Blair, but it's actually more Selma. It's Selma Hayek, isn't it? In the film, you know, Selma Hayek is like she's the stripper in the club.
Yeah,
that is the role essentially the Dawn Marie would play.
Okay.
Because that's the only thing they've ever really cast her in wrestling shows. Is that she's the sexy lady. She had a storyline where she married another wrestler's very old dad, and then he had a heart attack during sex.
Oh, I was going to say during the ceremony.
Your knowledge of wrestling is absolutely astounding.
It's brilliant.
It's awful, though.
What about this one? Dude Love, Where's My Car?
Yep, I like that. Dude Love was a wrestler by the name of Mick Foley. He had three different characters.
I know Mick Foley.
Yeah, Mankind, yeah. Cactus Jack, and Dude
Mankind
Love.
Mankind and Cactus Jack, yeah, that's how I know.
I should have really let you do that rather than just talk over you.
No. I'm glad to hear it. Cactus Jack. Basically, Apple Sours. Remember Cactus Jack from the 2000s?
Yes.
Shot.
We used to buy bottles of Cactus Jack whenever we watched WrestleMania.
That's great.
Because that's like a big WrestleMania drink. It's named after a wrestler.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, this just makes sense.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
just Apple Sours.
Yeah. But you ever had a Cactus Jack?
No. Well, if it's just an Apple Sours, then I've had an Apple
What's
Sours
the other one
in my life?
From that period? Dooley's or something that was like...
Ooh,
like a milky shot.
Ugh.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Nah,
I am. Do you know the bar round in? Oh dear, this shows my terrible knowledge of London. Central London.
Mm. Yeah, the central bit.
Really central.
Come on, what's the name of that bar in central London?
You know the one.
Yeah.
It's called Garlic and Shots.
I've heard about it. I've always wanted to go.
Yeah, and downstairs they have 100 different variations of shots.
Yeah,
and I had one down there that was essentially like drinking ragu.
Whoa.
It was like tomato with basil and like
sounds delicious.
Yeah, let's go.
It really was because I was like, I really need some pasta now.
Yeah.
This is really delicious.
Oh, let's go.
I felt very ill the following day.
Ugh.
Because you just go up there and it's like, oh, I'll have a 45 and a, you know, you just get reel off the numbers. Next thing you know, you've had loads of shots.
Garlic and Shots is a big tag team name. I mean, and they were being from
Dust
Till
Dawn. So one has smelly breath and the other a gun?
Yeah. Yeah. Smelly breath and a gun. The one with the gun is just waiting by the rope, but they're just desperate for him not to get tagged in because they can just about handle the halitosis. They don't want the guy with an actual weapon.
I didn't credit Dude Love Where's My Car. That was from Andrew.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Andy. We're all friends here.
I really like this one. This one's from Lem. Undertaken.
Oh, you see, that was going to be my thing. I didn't realise someone had suggested it.
There you go.
I was so proud of myself when I came in because I came in with a whole pitch for it and everything.
Well, go ahead.
Right, so in 2001, The Undertaker had a storyline where his wife was being stalked by another wrestler. It was an unknown wrestler. They didn't really do anything weird. They just filmed her from afar. And they had this really distorted voice. It was like, I'm watching your wife, Undertaker. And then turned out the wrestler was Diamond Dallas Page. It was a WCW wrestler. And then they had this big old fight because DDP was being a creep. Undertaker won. On we go. You know,
yep.
We ride off into the sunset. Everything's fine.
I see where this is going.
I want
really
to do a
like
follow-up
it.
To this.
Yeah.
Where Undertaker, it's following on from the storyline. So Undertaker clearly thinks that it's DDP again. And it's not. It's a copycat killer. Well, a copycat stalker.
I like it.
And they got to go and find out who the copycat stalker is.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Undertaker what, sort of hobbles around.
Yeah, I was going to say. But it's really sad this time.
I had a unique set of skills.
Wait, so he's WCW and WWE. Is that like Marvel DC crossover?
It was at the time, yeah, because WWF had just bought WCW, so they started bringing in these WCW wrestlers as like they were the invaders, and they had a bigger pay-per-view called Invasion where they did WWF versus WCW. Problem was they didn't buy all the good guys from WCW, so they bought all the really lower tier guys, and they were like, look who we've got. Yeah. So rather than like Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair and Sting, and we've got Mark Jindrak. It's like, who's he?
Sting.
Yeah, and the police. Yeah. They couldn't get them either.
That would be good. Come on. One from me, Jake the Snake on a Plane.
Very good. I mean, you remember Jake the Snake Roberts?
No.
No?
No.
What was his thing?
He was a
wrestler.
He carried a giant snake to the ring.
That's lucky.
Yeah.
He was just Jake before that.
It was a snake called Damien. And so he used to scare people with the big snake. And they were like, oh no, it's a snake. But he was really cool. And he had the nice mullet and a really cool mustache.
Oh, nice.
But he then fell on very hard times, like a lot of wrestlers did from the 90s.
Do you have to sell the snake?
Well, the snake
was
there was lots
property.
Of stories about like sort of animal abuse because I don't think they were particularly good with the snake. And bearing in mind they're like throwing snakes around rings, so it's probably not really good.
Oh yeah, snakes hate that.
Yeah, so I've heard.
So this snake tries to escape on a plane.
Yeah. Well, no, I like to think that it's Jake the Snake escapes on a plane. Like he is sat on, or it's just it's like a found footage thing. You're just watching Jake on a plane,
or Samuel L. Jackson. There is something going on a plane, like someone in the air duct, someone like popping their hand up through the toilet, and it is just Jake the Snake, and he has to get rid of him from the plane.
Yeah, he's just trying to have a nice flight, but Jake is just bugging him the entire
time. Just
really
pissing him off. Yeah, they were both in first class because they're both such superstars.
Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
When was Jake the Snake a big thing?
In the 90s, late 80s, early 90s.
Well, so was Sam Jackson at that point.
Yeah.
Those guys could have feasibly been in first class on a plane at one point. There would be an overlap in their careers where that was possible.
Well, actually, they could have been. I was about to say that WWE had a private plane, but I don't think they ever really went on the private plane unless you were like a top, tippity-top Hulk Hogan type guy.
Oh, man. So
everyone else just had to like fly coach. They didn't
The Snake went on the private plane.
Bear in mind, wrestlers had to pay for their own tickets. So I don't think many people were buying first class tickets.
They had to pay for their own tickets.
And hotels.
Jake the Snake has snuck onto the WWF private plane.
Now we're talking.
Very good.
Vince McMahon and Hulk Hogan.
And somehow, in sneaking on, he's broken an engine.
Oh, what
is
he playing?
And the only thing that I'm going to take from the original film is that Kenan Thompson saves the day.
Or we switch it up and it's Kel Mitchell.
Yes. That's something that I don't think people talk about enough about that film, is that Keenan saves the day because he played a flight simulator on his PSP, so it meant that he could land a plane.
Right. I remember, because I was at university when Snakes on a Plane came out, and obviously everyone just went to see that one line.
Yeah.
I've had it with these mother effing snakes and a mother effing plane.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much, and it was like, hey! Now what?
Yeah.
But there was loads of parodies of it, and there was loads of like knockoffs, like Snakes on a Train.
Yeah, I saw Snakes on a Train. That's done by those guys, isn't it? Asylum, whatever they're called.
Asylum, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I had a big thing for Asylum for quite a while.
Oh, me too, mate. Transmorphers. Oh. Talking my language.
Common ground. We're here. Guys, we've actually got to leave the studio because there is a rat-tat-tat at the studio door. And it's actually Damien the Snake. He's come to record his audiobook. It's like it's a complete expose of what went on behind the scenes. Finally, we're going to hear the truth. But good news, I've actually got us a booking for once the snake's done. So we're going to come back in and record a part two. That's pretty exciting, right? So if you're listening to this, you've just enjoyed what is part one. You thought, oh, that was great. There's actually going to be more of that.
Yeah, what if you got to the end of this and was like, God, I wish there was more.
Well, like, you're in luck.
You're in luck.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.